answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today is a solemn occasion as this committee begins official impeachment proceedings in the matter of Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas and his handling of America's borders since taking office in February 2021. I wish we weren't sitting here today. I wish these proceedings were not necessary. I wish our southwest border was secure. I wish that our government was enforcing the laws passed by the Congress and doing its job to keep the American people safe. Unfortunately, Secretary Mayorkas has done none of these things. For almost a year, the House Committee on Homeland Security has conducted a comprehensive investigation into the causes, costs, and consequences of the unprecedented crisis at our southwest border. Our evidence makes it clear. Secretary Mayorkas is the architect of the devastation that we have witnessed for nearly 3 years.
There is no doubt about that. And the words are coming in, you were listening to then, Tennessee Congressman Mark Green, who is overseeing the impeachment hearing into Mayorkas. They're having a hearing at this point, and then they'll end up taking a vote, and then, of course, they will move forward. Now, already, previously this week, we had House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer introduce a resolution to impeach Hunter Biden, but passing the resolution and then sending to the Justice Department doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. Same thing here with impeaching Mayorkas. The Justice Department will be involved to some extent, but it's really going to end up going to the Senate because the Senate will make a ruling upon if the grounds exist for impeachment. When Tennessee Congressman Green said that Mayorkas is the architect, I don't want to give a pass to Joe Biden. Mayorkas is acting on what Joe Biden wants and what many on the left want. They don't, of course, open their doors and leave them open for people to come and go into their house anytime they want, but they're willing to let our country doors be open for anyone to come and go. So I'm not going to obviously take Biden out of the equation, but right now the focus is on Mayorkas. So the impeachment inquiry begins. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, January 10, 2024, second hour of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back. And, of course, when we're on the air from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, we are streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. And, of course, you can always pull them up later at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook and listen and watch at your pleasure. Glad to have you do it. A note to you that immediately following this hour, we will be switching to the Iowa debate between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Vivek Ramaswamy was cut out. He did not qualify by the standards they set, and he is pissed. He clearly is. We'll get into that more before we wrap up the hour. But let's go back again to Tennessee Congressman Green as he began the opening statements today that this is a solemn occasion because we're looking to impeach the Department of Homeland Security Secretary for not doing his job.
That problem is not instability in other countries. It's not poverty. It's not climate change. It's not supposedly broken immigration system. All of these excuses have long predated Secretary Mayorkas' tenure, and yet we've never experienced a crisis like this. As even the New York Times admits, and I quote, push factors don't explain the entire surge, and maybe not even most of it. There have been no recent wars in Latin America, and the region's poverty rate has been flat, end quote, the New York Times.
I'll also note that two of the 16 cities in the world with the highest murder rates are right here in the United States. No, this crisis has been intentional. Secretary Mayorkas was made aware of testimony given by President Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland, where the AG admitted the current policies are being exploited by the cartels. Yet Secretary Mayorkas turns around and implements additional policies to expand the catch-and-release measures, empowering the cartels and killing Americans. After nearly 3 years of watching this unfold, what other conclusion is there but this is an intentional crisis?
It is an intentional crisis. It is an open invitation to invade our country. This has not come, all you huddled masses looking for safety and so forth. This is just come, do whatever you want. You're free to move about the country, because we're not going to keep track of you anyway. Mayorkas admitted to the Border Patrol agency the other day, after telling the public on a TV interview and others, oh, we've got everything under control. He admitted to them that 85% of those that they detain are released into the country. 85%. And the vetting, there is no real vetting. Nebraska Congressman Mike Flood was one of those who went down with House Speaker Johnson and about 60 other GOP Republicans the other day to look at the border. Now, again, many of them have been to the border before. It's nothing new to them. But they hadn't been there since that 300,000 surge in December. And keep in mind, Congressman Mike Flood is a far, far away from the border of Mexico. He's in Nebraska.
What I heard from the border chief at Eagle Pass was disgusting. From December 20th to December 30th, 8,000 to 10,000 illegal immigrants crossed into our nation. But what really bothered me was, and we have to understand this as Americans, when that kind of influx comes into the United States, it requires all 186 border agents that are on shift at that shift to come off patrolling the border and come into the processing center to process 8,000 to 10,000 people into the United States each day. 85% of those are released into the United States at 72 hours. I think when Americans go to bed at night, they expect Border Patrol agents to be engaged in law enforcement activities by patrolling the border for 10 days, sans for except maybe a four-mile area around Eagle Pass, 252 miles of the U.S.-Mexican border, just that part, was unguarded for 10 days. What does that mean? That means drugs, fentanyl, human trafficking, the organized cartels that are making $32 million a week just at the Eagle Pass area. That's when they are harming America by diverting all sorts of nefarious drugs and guns into the United States, which turns every city in America into a border town. It turns every city in Nebraska into a border town.
And in Nebraska, if they're beginning to feel like a border town, obviously things are way out of control. But if you go back to 2023, earlier last year, Congress was questioning Mayorkas about him saying consistently, we have control of the border.
Do you admit that your policies have led the country farther away from operational control of the border as defined by the Congress?
Congressman, no, I do not.
If you will recall when you testified here in front of me when I asked that question, when you very clearly stated we do have operational control, when presented with the actual definition of operational control, you didn't hesitate. You said, I do. And you, in fact, then referred back and said, I believe that my predecessors would have said the same thing. You looked straight at the American people, straight at me, straight at every person on this committee, and said, we have operational control.
Yeah, we have operational control. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's been a lie every time he said it. So just before the impeachment hearing began, he goes down to the border to stand with Border Patrol agents and make it appear that, hey, I'm active. I'm on duty here. unlike Secretary Austin. Oh, he didn't bring that up. I did. My bad. But what he's doing is not just failing, it's adding fuel to the fire. Mayorkas stated the other day, the reason we have so many coming in is the pull factor. By the pull factor, he means they know if they get here, then they will probably get to stay. Well, why is that? Because you're letting them into the damn country. And you're not throwing them back on the other side of the border and say, you stay there, remain in Mexico, as Trump had put in place, until we adjudicate your case. Mayorkas also admitted, we've got 3 million backlog cases, 6 years before we could get through all of them. What do you think those people that you're talking about now are going to be in 6 years, much less the ones who've come since then and are still coming? And you heard the Tennessee Congressman Green say, they're not coming here because of the pull factor. They're not coming here because of disastrous situations in their country. They're coming here because maybe, one, they want a better place for them and their family, and they really want to be part of America, not to come in and tear it down, but to assimilate, to be an American. I appreciate that. I'm glad to have them. But you've got to come legally. In the meantime, folks who are trying to come legally are backlogged. They can't get their paperwork processed because everything's tied up with illegals at this point. And then, of course, you got the others that are coming here. They have no intention of doing anything but harm to you, your family, our nation. They had an explosion in a hotel down in Fort Worth the other day. I did not mention it because facts were still coming out. The final decision was, after they didn't know, 21 people hurt, thank God no one's killed, that it was a gas leak. Could have still been a gas leak, but it could have been caused by an illegal who came in, thought, you know, if I turn this valve and leave it open, there's going to be a gas leak, and when it blows, all the pipe will go, and they won't know maybe where it started. Now, I'm not saying that happened, but I took note of Ken Williams, who produces the Vic Percelli show, put up on tweet right above that story, said, and so it begins. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. Stefanik, New York Congresswoman Stefanik, also talked about this Mayorkas impeachment.
Every day that Joe Biden and Secretary Mayorkas refuse to secure our borders, they fail the American people, sacrificing our nation's safety, security, and sovereignty. And while Joe Biden and Democrats refuse to act, House Republicans have taken action, passing the strongest border security bill in American history, H.R. 2, the Secure the Border Act. And we voted for significant year-over-year funding increases for our courageous Border Patrol and ICE agents. As we speak, House Republicans on the Homeland Committee are beginning the impeachment process of Secretary Mayorkas for refusing to do his job and refusing to uphold the law.
Good, as they should. Speaker Mike Johnson, who led, of course, the delegation of 60-plus Republicans down to the border the other day, felt that they absolutely achieved something and maybe educated some who, even though they'd been to the border, hadn't been lately and just did not realize how bad it's gotten out of control. But he says it's not just for those members of Congress to recognize, it's for everyone in the U.S. to recognize.
Everyone in the country understands this is an unmitigated catastrophe. It's a humanitarian catastrophe, it's a national security catastrophe, and it must be addressed. America's at a breaking point. We know that you've heard some of the numbers mentioned today, but there's 300 suspects on the known terrorist watch list that we know that are in the country. You hear the number about the gotaways, 7.1 million encounters at the border since Joe Biden took office. We estimate the number of people actually in the country is probably close to 14 to 15 million. I mean, just think about that. It's a staggering number. In December alone, we had the largest number total of persons crossing the border in our history. It's unsustainable. You're talking about hundreds of thousands of people a month. We can't do this.
We can't do it. City of New York, Mayor Eric Adams says, we can't take anymore. They've had 160,000 illegals sent up there, maybe. 160,000. And they're going to break and destroy our city. How the hell do you think it's helping or hurting those to the south of you, especially those true border cities? If the House decides to impeach Mayorkas, then it goes to the Senate to decide if he is guilty of an impeachable offense. Well, Kansas Senator Roger Marshall, Republican, says the facts cannot be disputed.
As we all know, 10 million people have crossed our border illegally since Secretary Mayorkas and President Biden took office. 300,000 Americans have died from fentanyl poisoning or opioid poisoning. 1.7 million gotaways are scattered and hidden across our country. Our FBI director says all the warning lights are now blinking. This is why we should fire Secretary Mayorkas today and give Joe Biden the message that he's next in 300 days.
You're next, Joe Biden, in 300 days. I like that a lot. Of course, Biden continues to insist, I'm good, the border's good, and I have all the confidence I need to have in my defense secretary. Others clearly don't.
I want to begin by addressing the shocking actions and lack of transparency from the Department of Defense. It is absolutely unacceptable that the Pentagon waited multiple days to notify the President of the United States, the National Security Council, and the American people that Defense Secretary Austin was hospitalized and unable to perform his duties. I represent Fort Drum, home of the most deployed division in the U.S. Army since 9/11. There are currently thousands of 10th Mountain Division soldiers deployed in the Middle East. And while those brave service members were under attack by Iranian-backed terrorists, the Secretary of Defense was in the ICU, the Deputy Secretary of Defense was on vacation, and Joe Biden and the White House were completely unaware. In the chain of command, the Secretary of Defense serves as the connection through which the President commands and controls our armed forces. There will be a congressional investigation already launched by HASC Chairman Mike Rogers into this dangerous dereliction of duty, and there must be full accountability beginning, I believe, with the immediate resignation of Secretary Austin and anyone who lied for him.
Good. I would agree with that. New York Congresswoman Stefanik. But again, Joe Biden has said, I'm not going to fire him, and if he gives me his resignation, I won't accept it. Why? There's no common sense to be found in this administration. As you well know, the other day, when members of the Poison Ivy League college universities, Harvard, MIT, University of Pennsylvania, went to talk to Congress and dealing with the issues of, are you allowing genocide phrases to be thrown at Jews to frighten them on your campus that violate your code? They were all just indifferent. I told you then that this kind of attitude is not just in the higher league colleges. It's also in community colleges and lower. I've got a guest coming up, and we're going to focus on that. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington, and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and News Talk STL.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest has written a couple of books, one splintered Critical Race Theory and the Progressive War on Truth. Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Education Department, an expert in education. Jonathan, first of all, glad to have you on board with us, sir.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
I'm looking at a piece that you were involved in putting together dealing with moral corruption at community colleges. Now, the other day, we all saw what happened with the Poison Ivy League administrators in front of Congress and how they were letting DEI, and in fact, that is how the Harvard president got her job anyway. She checked the DEI boxes and even was going to be able to stay if it hadn't been for plagiarism. And I mentioned then that it's not just in those Ivy Poison League colleges, it's deeper. Let's talk about the basic community college.
Sure. I mean, look, community colleges are supposed to be places where students can go if they, look, if they struggled in high school, if, the idea of going off to a four-year school wasn't on the horizon for them and they wanted something to give them a boost so they could go to a four-year school or just give them some job skills so that they would be more valuable in the workforce. But instead, community colleges are hiring the same kinds of diversity, equity, and inclusion coordinators, the same kind of identity politics type materials and individuals that we find in the four-year school. So community colleges are not immune for this woke, you know, these woke politics that are driving the four-year school.
So many who thought, look, I'm going to help my kid go to, and quite honestly, I would tell those out there who are thinking about going to a university or college, I began my first 2 years in a community college. Just the basic courses are going to be the same anywhere, basically. And then I was also putting myself through school, so it took me 6 years to do four because I was also working. But with community colleges, like you said, it offered me an opportunity to get started while I was still working and gradually pay my way through school. At that time, of course, DEI didn't exist, but now everything's upside down.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think what taxpayers, as well as parents, should be expecting out of community colleges is that they will give students the chance to set themselves up for a better future, right? Community colleges are there to help students recover coursework that they may have struggled with in high school, give them a chance to take classes that will then hopefully prepare them to go off to a four-year school if that's what their goal is.
Right.
And so when we see community colleges investing money and spending on, again, DEI coordinators, creating task forces, that was also very common in my research, was that schools would put together a so-called task force to write some sort of statement about DEI, and then that becomes a part of the hiring process for new employees at these community colleges, right? The DEI coordinators are a part of the hiring committee, and they'll often make applicants fill out a loyalty oath or some sort of statement saying that they are in favor of DEI or that their work will somehow promote DEI.
Is the first question, what is your gender? I guess if they get an answer to that, okay, that could be a good DEI person.
Yeah, and that's also somewhat common in the schools that I looked at. I looked across some of the largest community colleges in the country, and found that it was also common that they would have something on their website saying some sort of statement around pronouns or some sort of statement in favor of the, quote, queer theory or gender movement. And, I mean, again, this doesn't prepare students to be better engineers, to be better doctors, to be better lawyers, to be better when they go into the workforce or if they head off to a four-year school, right? There's no evidence that this equips them to be better employees. In fact, I think it makes them, in many cases, makes them resentful, right, of having to participate in a DEI training program. It's definitely not an effective use of taxpayer money because the research shows that DEI programs are not even effective at their own stated objectives, as ambiguous as those may be. They're not effective at making people more tolerant. They don't change people's attitudes. And oftentimes people forgot what they were told or what they had been trained in just days after having participated. And this is from hundreds of surveys that have been conducted on participants in DEI programs.
I think we saw that by the Harvard president making her remarks that were inconclusive as to if you're threatening and calling for genocide of Jews, and then unless you actually act on it, we have to look at the context. In other words, we're going to kind of accept it. We're going to go after you for microaggressions. If you call a he, a she, or use a wrong pronoun, well, we're going to lower the board on you. But the rest of it, yeah, okay, we'll let it go.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the trouble is that it's inconsistently applied. I mean, if you look at issues like free speech on campus, or like you were saying, when it comes to the, quote, gender or using the right pronoun, you know, the schools may be, you know, they may vigorously apply, right, a requirement that you use the someone's stated pronoun. But when it comes to free speech, when it comes to the issue of, you know, Israel and Palestine, they may take sides. You know, they may decide not to defend Jewish students who are on campus. And, I mean, we saw that certainly after the October 7th disaster.
Right.
I mean, look, you know, students, Jewish students locked in the Cooper Union Library in New York City with people banging on the doors. I mean, this was, you know, a clear, I think, statement that they, you know, that they had taken a position. But then when they're called in front of Congress and asked to, you know, talk about free speech and genocide, they somehow, you know, are suddenly open-minded, right? Suddenly they're
right.
Protecting free speech.
Right. Yeah, and the Jewish students afraid to wear the cross of David around their neck, like I wear the cross around my neck. I want it to be known. That's, yeah, I will still fall short. I'm a sinner. I know that. But they were afraid to even wear the that, not carrying I'm drawing a blank on the term now for
the Star of David.
Yeah,
right?
the Star of David. Well, yeah. That I was referring to as well, but the head covering.
Oh yes, of course. Well, I mean, and look, these DEI employees have been implicit in all of this inability to defend Jewish students. Oftentimes, DEI offices on college campuses are the same offices that operate so-called bias response teams, and these bias response teams will conduct investigations when someone anonymously reports that they were offended by something they heard or that they saw. And you can have a student, I mean, investigated based on, without knowing who made the charge against them, without even knowing, you know, what they may have said or what they may have done until they're told, right, by a university official. And federal courts have heard lawsuits against these bias response teams and have said that they do, in fact, chill speech.
Yeah.
They will wind up having students self-censor themselves on campus, which is the opposite, right, of what you want.
Yeah, like I was trying to recall the word Hanukkah a moment ago. Not Hanukkah. I did it again. But you point out in here at Wake Tech in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, I don't know how big of a school Wake Tech is, but that school has a DEI council created a course entitled DEI 100 Introduction Course. To me, they're spending 3 hours a day or whatever the length of the time is to learn more about how to get involved in DEI and carry it out and enforce it and report. Report on any you suspect are doing wrong.
Well, the funny thing is that it's hard to describe exactly what these students are going to be learning. There was a survey conducted a couple of years ago of DEI employees at large businesses, and they asked them to define DEI, and about 80% couldn't even define exactly what DEI was. It is such an ambiguous concept that it's hard to even describe what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, so, again, every time it goes diversity, equity, and inclusion, the inclusion does not exist unless you're part of the group that they think should be included. Yarmulke was the word I was trying to think of a moment ago. You're pointing out also here that you said earlier that a lot of these college students, even in the community colleges, once they realize it's being pushed on them, they don't like it, they resent it. But I would imagine there are many that suddenly embrace it.
Well, I mean, what we're finding is former DEI instructors or coordinators are even now coming out and saying that they are opposed to what DEI has become.
Oh.
There's been some interesting articles in Compact Magazine, an online magazine, written by former DEI coordinators. And they're saying that DEI has gone off the rails. It's no longer promoting the kind of actual diversity that I think, right, ideally, they maybe once intended to. There's one former professor at a college in San Diego who's actually suing her school because of the way that she was treated. And she was a DEI coordinator, right? I mean, DEI was her, that was her thing. And it turns out that she saw DEI become something that was nothing what she thought it was.
All right, in the last minute here, if we're talking about community colleges, often you do have state taxpayer dollars involved and others. What can be used to apply pressure to strip those courses out of the schools, but then do you also actually strip out the activity?
Well, so we have five states now who are doing some really important things. So Florida, Texas, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma have all made statements essentially saying that no taxpayer money can be used for DEI programs, or they cannot be used for a DEI program that is based on racial preferences or based on racial prejudice. So we have state lawmakers saying that they will not use taxpayer dollars to fund DEI offices. Texas has already closed them down. Florida has already closed them down on public college campuses. And I think Iowa, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, they will not be far behind. So we're in January, right? January 2024, the beginning of the state legislative session, so state lawmakers are coming back,
right?
And the measure of a conservative lawmaker will be whether or not they will defund DEI.
Good, and I hope to hold them to that measure. Jonathan Butcher with the Heritage Foundation, expert in education, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Well, coming up, I want to tell you about the University of Michigan and its DEI program. Yes, University of Michigan won the college title, but now they're going to get another title.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath, and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, for those of you who watch our live stream, when we're on the air live with you on the radio, we are putting up a stream at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. And if you miss any of them, you can go back and pull them up at LarryConnorsUSA.com and Larry Connors USA Facebook. And you can push the share button and send it on to someone else so they get to take part in it. You can always subscribe, cost you nothing. And we do not sell your information, but it'll be delivered to you daily, so you don't have to go search and find it every day. Now, the other thing is, those of you who do watch, you probably see I'm scattered around, I'm reaching on this, I'm looking over here, I'm trying to find something. This program is evolving, even as we're on the air, believe me. I have certain things set in motion, but then something else catches my attention, so I've got to get the backup. I want to make sure I have the facts for you. That has been a prime issue for me in this program. I want to give you a balanced report and give you the source material so you can check it. And then I will add my comments, which I often do, as you know. But I'm giving you the facts as they are showing and the sources where you can check them. So we were talking about DEI, and we knew it was being incorporated in colleges below the Ivy League type level. And also into community colleges, and it's being pushed in high schools, and it's even going lower than that because you've got teachers coming out of some of these colleges that have been pushing DEI on them, and now they're teaching a first or second grade class. What do you think they're going to be telling those kids, especially if they have bought into it? I mentioned going to the break, University of Michigan, in case you missed it this last Monday night, won the national championship, beating number 2 Washington 34-13. That was the college football playoff title. Wolverines finishing their season with 15-0, first title since 97. But University of Michigan also, according to the College Fix editor, a group that watches over colleges and what they're doing, now has not just won that, but they also have more than 500 jobs dedicated to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the total cost for those 500 jobs is $30 million. You're hiring people to police diversity, equity, inclusion at some level or another. $30 million. The analysis, as written by Jennifer Cabaney, the College Fix editor, UM, University of Michigan, has become a DEI ideological complex with the university attached. Perfect wording. Oh, and they also have a great football program. She goes on to point out the University of Michigan continues to exponentially grow the number of staffers dedicated to advancing diversity, equity, and inclusion. At least 241 paid employees now focused on DEI, payroll costs exceeding $30 million annually. That's according to the analysis for the College Fix publication. 13 DEI staff members now earn more than $200,000. Give me $200,000. I'll write your DEI program and I'll enforce it the way I want to. They also add that 76 faculty or staff members work part-time as DEI unit leads, advancing diversity efforts in one of the University of Michigan's 51 schools, colleges, and units. And the number of positions, as we stated in the beginning, at Michigan's flagship university, advancing DEI, exceeds more than 500. We include those full-time and part-time, and the open and unfilled positions. The University of Michigan, to give you the balance, because I'm always going to try to give you the balance, let you decide what you want, it disputes these findings. I don't know how, if their numbers and they're right there, but they dispute the findings, arguing the findings are, quote, flawed and misleading, since they include employees whose primary duties are not solely DEI related. That doesn't give me any solace, does it you? Still tells me they're pushing DEI. According to the university spokesperson, diversity, equity, and inclusion are core values at the University of Michigan. As such, there is not a specific budget set aside for diversity outreach and recruitment. Riddle me this. Do you think any members of the Michigan Wolverines football team got on there because of DEI or because of their ability to play football, offense, defense, or both? No, they want to insist at the university, most employees working on DEI, they're not solely dedicated to DEI efforts, but they do so in addition to their other roles and responsibilities. Why? Why would they need to do that? If you just get rid of it. And they say, when we look at our 51 units over three campuses, our academic medical center, more than 100,000 students and employees, although some work is done centrally, much of it is done at the unit and department level, and the DEI efforts are appropriate to the size, the scope, complexity of our university. What makes it appropriate? Is there a factor number that for every 20,000 students you have to have X number of DEI professors focusing on just DEI, or working on it part-time? Is there some kind of system and numeric process I have not seen? God, I have never seen anything that says with 100,000 members as students and employees that they need to have more than 500 jobs dedicated to DEI. All right, let's not say 500 dedicated. Let's accept the university claim. They're not all dedicated to it. Some of them are just doing it part-time. In fact, according to them, our core DEI headcount amounts to 317. That's according to the guy who did the analysis. But the university claims, no, most employees working on DEI are not solely dedicated to DEI. If you're getting confused by all the numbers, so am I, and I've got them here in front of me. But they do admit to the university chief diversity administrator, Tabby Chavos Sellers. Tabby, I wonder if that's the one that got her into the DEI leadership role. She is among those well compensated. She's paid almost two times more than the average full professor. $402,000, apparently, by her, that she gets. You know the Michigan governor's salary, by the way? $159,000. Gretchen Whitmer should become a DEI professor or leadership at University of Michigan. An independent student newspaper reported that campus climate surveys conducted in 2016 and 2021 found that UM students became less happy since the beginning of DEI 1 on nearly every metric. DEI course 1-0 has been a failure, not because of a lack of resources, according to a previous student. If the largest number of diversocrats in the country cannot improve life on campus, there's something wrong at the heart of the effort. That's very close to what Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage Foundation was telling us. A lot of these students, they don't like it. They don't like to be under it. They don't think it does anything. It does not prepare them for the real world. Unless they're actually going to go out and teach DEI at another university or college or a community college or a high school, your child's high school, or maybe junior high, or maybe elementary. Teach, preach, train them early, and watch what happens. A former contributor to the College Fix said these latest figures are disheartening. Said, given the program's track record, it is unfortunate that the DEI bureaucracy is ballooning even further. I think that says everything. Now, I want to share a story with you out of Missouri. This is one of these you'd shake your head at. A man is being charged because he permitted his 16-year-old son to have sex with the son's high school teacher. I've seen the picture of the lady. She's 26. She's good-looking, obviously. Haven't seen a picture of the kid. Should not, because he's a juvenile and he's a victim, basically. But the father is now charged with the information that they gathered on endangering welfare child, statutory rape, sexual contact with student, child molestation. And they're going hard after him, and they're also going after the teacher. The father apparently knew the two were allegedly involved in a sexual relationship, and he even had students act as lookouts when they met for sex during school. I mentioned this the other day, and I'm glad that they're going after this teacher as well, in addition to the father. There was a time that if a child was molested by a teacher, generally it was a man preying upon a female student. Yes, there were cases where men preyed upon male students. And yes, there were more isolated cases, not being reported as much anyway, of female teachers preying upon male students. But there was this disconnect as to punishment. Oh, a man going after a teenage girl, but put him away forever. But if a female teacher is attracted to a male student or enticing them into a sexual relationship, everybody kind of wanted to back off. It's not a big deal. And, of course, it's something for the kids to brag about. Hey, you know what I'm doing every night? Be honest. Be honest. You know what I'm saying. All right, let's turn our attention to something entirely different. At the conclusion of this program, in the next few minutes, we will be switching you to Des Moines, Iowa, for the debate between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Now, Vivek Ramaswamy was not going to be allowed, according to CNN, on this first GOP presidential debate in Iowa in 2024, because they say to qualify, each candidate must be polling at least 10% in three different surveys. One including a CNN poll of likely Iowa GOP caucus goers. Ramaswamy has consistently been under 10%, apparently by large amounts in some cases. Obviously, the candidate, Donald Trump, is not going to be on the stage. Vivek said he should be there. And in fact, here's what he is going to do. He said, I'm set to air some ads during the CNN debate telling on viewers to turn this S off. He said mainstream media, in his ad, is trying to rig the Iowa GOP caucus in favor of the corporate candidates who they can control. They don't want you to hear from me about the truth of what really happened January 6th, the truth about the COVID origin, the Hunter Biden laptop story, everything else they lied to you about. That's what Ramaswamy was saying in that ad tonight. So you can take that, take your remote, and turn this stuff off. I don't imagine he actually uses that other S word, but you get the picture. He did actually, now that I look at it again, did actually use that S word. But it's actually censored in the ad. And then after he says that, take your remote and turn this stuff off, as I'm saying it. He takes a remote, pushes a button on it. The video appears to shut off just like a TV. In a post and on Twitter last week, Ramaswamy said the Wednesday CNN debate will be the most boring in modern history. Well, of course, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis are thinking each is going to come out on top. But the bottom line is the candidate one of them will end up facing is not going to be there. He's going to be hosting a town hall with Fox News. Donald Trump was questioned the other day by Dennis Prager of Salem Network about, are you going to debate or not? He said, when they get down to one person on the stage, I will go on the stage and debate that one person. He's basically saying, why should I get involved in the mud wrestling at this point? I'm 30, 40 points ahead of either one of them. Why should I get down in the dirt? You can't say that's a bad strategy. And, of course, don't forget the Democrats are not even going to have a debate, it appears. Good Lord, can you imagine Joe Biden back in a debate, even in a general election? And also reminding you, the Democrats, I cannot believe they did this, but they decided they're going to hold their national convention in Chicago. Good sanctuary city and state in Chicago. All right, immediately following our program tonight, we'll switch you to Des Moines for that debate between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.